You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Well, not a lot of people signing up for cruises right now, that's for sure. Interestingly, director star Chris Roberti of the film Same Boat has been doing lots of interviews that all start with pretty much what I just said. They're like, you took the last cruise. In fact, he had to take several cruises to film all of this film that was made much like Escape from Tomorrow, the famous film made secretly at Disneyland. This was filmed without anyone knowing they were filming it in terms of like the crew of the ship and regular people who were on the boat. But as it turned out, they shouldn't have worried because nobody gave a shit.
Well, that's good. That was something I was wondering, because like, did these people sign waivers to be in the background? But if they don't care, then that's cool.
Well, usually with that sort of thing, people come up after the fact and go, hey, you were in this. We would like to get you to sign this waiver because you're on screen for a minute. Most people are like, what? I'm in a movie?
Nice. But
before we go too far, I would like to introduce my co-host. I, of course, am Chris, and joining me is Mindy.
Hello!
And then we've got Julian.
Hello!
And London.
Hey, always a pleasure.
Same boat, make no mistake, if you're like, I have not heard of this time-traveling assassin romantic comedy. Well, now that I've said time-traveling assassin romantic comedy, you're like, wait, I haven't heard of this time-traveling assassin romantic comedy. Well, that's because this is a super low-budget little film. Yeah, a lot of websites picked up the story about the trailer because A, director, writer, star Chris Roberti has actually been in a lot of stuff. He's never really been like an A-list star, but there's a lot of shows he's had reoccurring roles on that he was recognized for, unsurprisingly High Maintenance being one of them. And a lot of the cast here also have equally relatively enough where you're like, you see people and you go, I've seen them before. But the story is Roberti and his intern, played by Julia, yes, it is Julia Schonberg. Her name is Mott, but she's from the future where people have names like Mott. So we see from the beginning, they have these little devices, handheld devices, and they basically go find people from the past at different times who do something that leads to the future being bad. And much like in Terminator 2, where it was just an innocent scientist who wasn't a bad guy, he thought he was advancing, you know, scientific knowledge, but accidentally created
Terminators.
In this case, they like they go back and they kill the guys, people who invented reality television, and I don't think we need to explain why that was bad.
No.
Yeah, that was a nice way to start the movie. I was like, whoa, this is really cheap, but maybe kind of clever, but oh, that was a letdown. No, it wasn't.
I would be, man, what a better world we'd live in if this movie was true. So then you see their next mission is on this cruise ship, and he's chasing the girl in question, and it ends up being sort of like a meet cute, and he falls for said girl, played by Tanya Glanz, Lily. And then he finds himself, despite his intern going, when are you going to kill this girl? And his intern, fortunately for him, is out of the picture for a while because she's seasick. He's starting to rethink, there's got to be something else we can do here, because I know normally I would just do this and just kill her and be gone, but I really like this girl, and what could she have done that was so bad? And what you get is, like I said, while still a very low-budget film, a movie I found to be genuinely kind of sweet and funny, despite
a
weirdly dark choice of endings.
And just plot line. It's a rom-com about a person that's sent back in time to kill somebody. It's not exactly... Aw.
I'm not going to lie. This was kind of like, this is The Room, just add water. Like,
it oh,
was,
no.
Like, it was,
no,
it was a
no,
bit
no,
silly
no.
for me. Like, he was such a lovable guy. Everybody liked him. He's so nice. Like, he was always talking so great about himself. It was, I don't know, it just seemed like a young Tommy Wiseau to me. Like, he wasn't a foreign guy, but I don't know, it was giving me those vibes.
Wow, I didn't get that at all.
Me neither.
For one thing, Tommy Wiseau couldn't act his way out of a wet paper bag.
Not in
this guy, Roberti's playing kind of like he feels like it's the kind of character he probably has played more than once, a sort of laconic, almost a stoner type, but he's not giving a bad performance.
I guess I didn't care for much of the characters, but maybe I'm in the minority here, because I didn't think it was great, but I would have been happy to have been in this movie, if that makes sense.
Fair. Well, you are a prospective actor, comedian, and at this point you're not saying no to much, right?
Oh, indeed. I will say there are a couple characters that if you took them out wouldn't have taken away anything, that like the people that were the crew members. While I did enjoy their quirks, I could see them being completely taken out of the film and nothing would have changed.
I guess I agree to some extent. I mean, I don't want to overpraise this film, certainly, and at least in terms of the way I feel about it.
No, it was made with a negative budget, but so...
You can't help but see the budgetary constraints that are here, but honestly, it doesn't do anything that stretches them either. So it's not like you're ever like, Jesus, no. That looked terrible, because...
I was going to say, the only thing that it seems like they're stretching is the length of the movie, because it's just about 80 minutes, and there's about 15 scenes of them eating in this movie.
But they're not just eating. They're having a conversation.
Yeah, they're talking to each other. You make it sound like
we're watching some art experimental film about people trying out food on a cruise liner.
Oh my god, if only that's what this would have been.
Man, Julian's got a high bar. London, I haven't heard much from you. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I never thought I'd say this, but Julian, I actually agree with you.
Oh, see? It's all see?
This what? Boat, I'm jumping off. The thing that bugged me was, since I'm the writer, before I'll talk about some of the writing, I felt like every character was a variation of the main character. Like, they all were kind of had this stoner, like, hey, you know, it's all cool, man, everything's cool, like, attitude. I just thought it was awkward. Like, even the love interest, who she's supposed to be she makes this loophole that, that she's a lawyer. I didn't buy that she was a lawyer. Like, I don't know what the other characters are, but they all just seem like, it's obvious that this is, like, he did write and direct it, because everything felt like the main character. So I just didn't feel, even with the dialogue, I felt like I could have taken some of their lines and switched it around, would have made a difference.
Yeah, I also don't see that. I mean, I hate to disagree with you so fervently, but like, I mean, first off, they're on a cruise ship, so everybody's kind of relaxed. Which makes for kind of a, if you will, stoner type, or at least laconic type performance to some degree. I mean, I didn't find anybody was really similar except for maybe Chris Roberti, who played James' lead character, and his intern, Julia, but that is literally part of the story. She wants to be like him. She really looks up to him. She's literally shadowing him. But I didn't see the lawyer being, I mean, she's on vacation. I'm not sure how she's supposed to be lawyery.
I will say that some of the characters were a bit tropey, but that didn't bother me. Like, the script and the characters were very simple, even with the premise of it's a killer assassin rom-com. But, you know, when you look at it as, like, this is maybe a student film or somebody just out of college that doesn't have a lot. I mean, Kevin MacLeod is in the soundtrack, for crying out loud. That's music for broke-ass artists. No shade to Kevin MacLeod. I love you. You provide a valuable service. When you look at it as this is simple, this is a little tropey, you know, you're not expecting, you know, big budget blockbuster. Maybe it made me like look over some of the stuff that I would be more critical of in a higher budget movie, but you know, it's not a high budget movie.
I mean, to some degree, you have to gauge a super indie micro budget film the same way that there's a difference that you would gauge a horror movie from an Oscar drama. You're not going to put them on the same level. You're going to be looking for different qualities in them. Now, there's certainly still more micro-budget indie films than not that are just fucking garbage. There's a reason they didn't get their budget. But I actually found, like I said, this was doing for as strong as it could do, given its limitations, which were obviously severe. I mean, it did not even pay for their shooting location. So, I mean, it is what it is. Your results are going to vary in this sort of thing. Like I said, for me, I thought it was kind of cute. But let's go to final thoughts. Mindy, why don't you start us?
Well, as I said, you know, this is a low-budget film, and so it's not going to be polished. So if you're looking at it from that point of view, it is a cute, quaint little film. Like I said, some of the characters are tropey. I thought that was okay. The one thing that did really bother me was that it set up the rules for time travel, which a lot of time travel storylines screw this up, is that they set rules and then they break those rules. And it's like, well, you've set, how does this even work? There were times where it was like there were bits of the storyline that seemed to be cut off, and that was the big one, is the how were you able to break the rules? But there wasn't really an explanation for it. But, like, all in all, it's a quaint little film that I rather enjoyed. And it would be the type of film that, honestly, I know a lot of people around here would make and I would be in. I am going to say 8 shark teeth out of 10.
My goodness.
What about you, Julian?
Okay. There were moments where I was watching this where I was laughing and I was definitely not supposed to be laughing. And then other times I wasn't laughing, I would be thinking, who thought of this? Why are you shoving that lighter into that lady's neck? I don't really recommend this. I think that if it had a really cool VHS cover back in the 90s, people would have gone crazy for it. But today, I might show my friends this and we might laugh at it. But other than that, it's not really worth checking out. I give it 5 scoops of ice cream that you can show me how to make.
Okay.
Fair. It's soft now serve, I want ice damn cream. It.
Yeah. Hey, man, you're from the future where they don't have soft serve. You're living in a golden age of ice cream. Come on.
Yeah. Who do I pay?
London?
Okay. I like low budget movies, and I just wanted to get something out of it. Make me laugh or make me get thrilled or just something. And maybe it would have worked better if it was maybe just a straight comedy or a straight like sci-fi thriller or something. But other, like, I think maybe this mixture of the two tones that probably bothered me too. I was going to give it a higher score, but I did notice some technical errors, and like one, they had some focusing because I think they filmed in the elevator and it caused the camera to like loses focus a little bit, so I have to take it down for that. Because I'm sorry, guys, I'm sure you had fun making a movie, you know, keep going, keep pushing forward, but I'm gonna give this 4 Fruit of the Golden Age out of 10.
Wow, you're like, I've seen lots of little indie films, but I'm taking it down for a scene where the camera went slightly out of focus. That seems like you haven't actually seen any micro budget films.
Listen to my other reviews.
Just say
this is me being nice.
Okay, that's true. You've done some film festival stuff where you were like reviewing stuff that was probably much smaller budgets than this. I'm really kind of shocked at you guys being as harsh on this as you are. I think while it certainly like shows its budget, at the same time, I think it's a solid crew of actors. I think they genuinely have good chemistry together. I think the script is most of the time pretty funny and even clever. Definitely could have used 2 or 3 more passes, but there's a point you're like, well, this is good enough. This is fine for what we're doing, which is just a cute little idea we had. And that's all it is, really. I mean, you never get the impression that the director is like, yeah, we'll set this up to do sequels, because he's not making that kind of film. This is, like I said, it's a cute idea he had and was like, yeah, let's do it. And I think overall what they came up with was much better than it had any right to be. I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10 cruises I'll probably never get to take now. I mean, not because of the virus, because I'm afraid of being killed by a time-traveling assassin who knows the dark future ahead of us that will happen because of my continued existence. I mean, if my plan comes to fruition.